This sermon is going to be about discovering the human spirit behind the mask of pain and suffering. Now, I really struggled, to be honest with you, with the title of this sermon, because we're not really developing empathy. We already have it. But I think rather what we're going to discuss and talk about is deepening it by removing the labels that separate ourselves from one another. Young children develop empathy very young. They first begin with identifying their own feelings. Then they are able then to define someone else's feelings. Then there's that connection. Young children say, "Ah, I know you feel sad when a toy is taken away because I feel sad when a toy is taken away." At that moment, I believe conscious connection begins. Now, I actually see myself as being a pretty empathetic person, but I'm restricted by biases that my mind has created. I read this book, How Can I Help? And it has changed my life. Now, I know that sounds like a cliche. Changing your life. But it did. It changed my life. The question is not do we help, but rather how can we help? Sometimes we experience ambivalence when we are in a position to help somebody out. Our mind struggles with impulses of our heart. The dealing with this ambivalence I'm talking about, it's about setting aside our ego. Our ego is the I, the me, the mine, ownership of myself. Now we own the labels that defined us. Mother, sister, aunt, uncle, father, doctor, patient, teacher, student. But not only do these labels define me, they also define you. If I am the doctor, then you must be the patient. If I am the teacher, you must be the student. And then these labels are built in expectations. Expect me to act like a doctor, I expect you to act like a patient. If I am the teacher, I expect to act like a teacher, therefore I expect you to act like a student. So in these expectations are built-in biases that I spoke about in the beginning. It's kind of scary to step out of our roles. Because these roles define us. This is our comfort zone. This is what we know. We identify with our labels. But fear keeps us in our place. Because this is what we know. And this is what our ego does. Our ego separates us. It keeps us in our little boxes. So this sense of separation keeps us from the how. And how can I help? Not to say our ego doesn't do good. We need our ego. Our ego preserves our sense of continuity in our life. Our ego documents personal growth. Our ego categorizes past experiences. But when I stick to my role, I lose out on how I can help somebody. There's an example, a personal example. I was early interventionist for Easter SEALs. That means I was a teacher, and I would go to people's homes, and I would teach the parent how to work with their child who's been diagnosed with a disability. Then I also would teach the child, oh, you're 2 years old, this is what you need to do. Now, this is a sad case. This two-year-old was diagnosed with brain cancer, and she did have a limited lifespan. But I went in as a teacher. I was going to teach the parent to work with the child. I was going to teach the two-year-old to do what a two-year-old's supposed to do. It was a disaster. The child cried for the whole hour. Her little sibling, sister, wouldn't come in the playroom. The mother could not leave the room. But that was my role. I was the teacher. Then one morning, I went there, and I just put the child in my lap, and I blew bubbles. The crying stopped. She smiled. The little sister came in and started playing with the bubbles. The mother was able to leave the room. What they were asking, what they needed from me, was for me to step out of my role, my ego, my role as a teacher. What they needed was quality time. So, you know, our roles keep us from actually hearing what other people need. Another example. Emil, you never stop learning. Another example of mine, I'm a facilitator for an English conversation group. And these are for students who are learning English as a second language. And they want to come in and practice their conversation. And in fact, they do. They want to practice their conversation. But the group, the class, was just not jiving. Out of every three students, I lost two. We did. I worked on sentence structure. We did word bingo, letter lotto. What more can this group want? Again, my role as a facilitator kept me from hearing what they really needed. During check-in time, they would talk about their lives, their frustrations, and trying to learn English as a second language out in the community. What they needed this class to be was to be more personal. We still practice our English, but they needed to be more personal. They wanted to talk about their personal experiences as English learners. I got a core group now. They're back. No more word lotto, no more letter lottos, and, you know, we just sit and we talk. Talk about what they need to talk about. So when we remove these barriers, there's a feeling of us rather than a you and a me. That's where I think the conscious connection happens. We are connected. We remove those labels. There's a moment of unity. You are present and mindful. Again, I know those terms are used a lot. Oh, be mindful, be present. But these moments are real. They're quick, they're real, and they're unforgettable. So by removing the mask, we validate the human spirit, the mask of pain and suffering, hence my call to worship. I don't know if you guys ever experienced, because when we remove these labels, we then validate the human spirit. You exist. I don't know if you all had experiences arguing with somebody and their style is to give you the silent treatment. They don't see you. They don't hear you. They don't touch you. You don't exist. That drives me crazy. There's another example. I go swimming at the Hayward Plunge. And we go early and we sit in line. There's a bench and about 10 of us. A woman is homeless, approaches the line. I've seen her before. I spoke to her. I know she suffers from mental illness. Hygiene is very poor. Decayed, missing teeth. Crustacean saliva around her mouth. Carries bags of rags, newspapers, and I don't know what else. She walks to the line and says something. Few people lifted up from their phone or the book, looked at her and went right back to reading or their phone or their conversation. She asked again, but not louder, softer. She owned that label of being kind of an icky person. She accepted that. But I heard her. What she was asking was, what time does the plunge open? That's all she was asking. So I told her 5 o'clock. Then she promptly asked me if I had an extra towel. And she was lucky I did. I said, sure, here's my towel. So But the point is, we need to validate the human spirit. And to validate the human spirit, we need to step out of our roles, our egos. And I wanted to share with you a song from Rod Stewart, Only a Hobo. We need to step out of our self-importance. We need to step out of our ego. We need to expand our labels. To do this, if we're able to do this and we become all-inclusive, it's kind of like the feeling you get when you go outside on a starry night, when away from the city lights and you look at the stars. Each star is a sun. Each sun could have planets around it. We kind of remove our self-importance. Oh my God, we're part of this gigantic infinity. We become a collective. I don't know if you have any science fiction people out there. It's a good collective, not the Borg. You know what I'm talking about? So when our rules fall away, we are simply free to be together. We can feel beyond ourselves because we become the instrument of kindness and love. We experience more of the deed rather than the doer than what and what's been done. We develop a deeper sense of self. And that's the title of my sermon. Developing a deeper sense of self. Blessed be. Thank you.